Now live from EverBank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Ah, good morning to you. Happy Thursday. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony with you. We're live here at EverBank Field. Jaguars Today kicking off on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. Tony, what happened to free agency? Why haven't they signed six more players yet? What happened to that? My buzz, my rush of adrenaline?
There's only so much you can do.
I think I ran into the wall sometime.
I think I saw yesterday they've spent $155 million.
Is that it?
They've
allocated. They haven't spent it all yet.
No, but...
potentially spent it.
It's coming.
They're not going to spend all that because some of that money off the back end won't be seen by
And the next team, even with Ndamukong Suh signing in Miami for that massive deal, I mean, it's crazy.
The gap.
They're still that far out in front of anybody else as far as how much money they've allocated in free agency this year. In good form, they needed to.
It is amusing to me to... And a lot of the reaction we gauge through social media, both not only from fans of the team, fans of other teams, the national media all weighing in on all aspects of free agency. Some people think, oh, wow, they're just splashing money around and it's not going to do anything. Some people think they're not spending enough, they're not getting the right guys, or some people think they're hitting it out of the park. I mean, look, you're never going to make everybody happy.
No, and it's funny with what the Jaguars have done, and look, we don't know how all these guys are going to work out. We really don't. They bring in six guys who could all potentially start for this team week one, potentially. Who knows how many of them will be, how many of them won't be. They still have some more work to do in free agency and the draft, by the way, to continue to fill out this roster. So who knows what's going to happen with all of these guys. But you watch the networks, ESPN and NFL Network, talking about free agency. And I know on NFL Network I saw them, what team has won free agency thus far. And they had six teams up there, and the Jags weren't one of them. They're the most active team in free agency, but they're not one of the six teams listed. And then I watched Charlie Casserly, who... every time I watch NFL Network says something, and I'm like, where'd that come from with that guy? So I don't know how much I want him on my side as a Jaguars fan out there. But I'm watching him, and he says, you know, they were talking about Julius Thomas. He said he watched the last two tapes of Blake Bortles last year just to get an idea at the end of the year where that player was. He said, that is a quarterback that is good enough to lead a team to the playoffs. He just needs to be more accurate. And then when they were asking him, they were going around about all these different teams that are winning free agency. He said, look, take a look at what Jacksonville is doing. That roster is getting better. They're bringing in good guys and good players and building the talent on that roster. Somebody needs to point out what Jacksonville is doing. And I was like, thank you, Charlie. Like, in the back
thanks,
of my head,
Chuck.
I was like, thank you, Charlie. And then I was like, but you say so many things that I'm like, where the hell did that come from? That, again, I don't know if I want that guy being the voice of reason for me on the networks, but that's still where Jacksonville is in the consciousness of this country.
You and I had a nice conversation with Dave Caldwell at lunch yesterday.
We did.
Before his press conference. Some of the stuff that we talked to him about, we had tweeted out, and some of it came up in the press conference yesterday. Some of it didn't. And we'll go through some of the things we gleaned from him on what they've done so far and where they may be going. But I've got to ask Tyler if he's been on NFL.com this morning. Tyler Devitt, have you been on NFL.com today?
I've been around a little bit.
Have you seen your story on NFL.com?
Yeah, that picture I tweeted about the Jaguars billboard is starting to blow up.
Yeah, they built the whole story around your tweet, dude.
Really?
You can thank me for retweeting it, because you're not on anybody's radar. Just know that, all right? You're
not
on anybody's radar. Seriously, if you go to to NFL.com to read the story about the Jags putting up a billboard to try to woo DeMarco Murray, which, by the way, it was written with a lot of condescension, I thought, in the article. What are you going to do now? Put up two billboards? I mean, give me a break, man. It's fan enthusiasm. You know, go suck an egg, NFL.com. But honestly, Tyler, if you scroll down to the bottom of the story, it's your photo and your tweet at the bottom of the story.
I'm looking at it. It's nice.
If you picked up a few followers yesterday, that is, I'm assuming, why.
You can thank NFL.com.
You can thank me for retweeting you to get you on NFL.com's radar. Thank you very much. I kid. Nah, you got a lot of action off of that yesterday. And look, DeMarco Murray, if you've been following the news this morning, he reached out to Chip Kelly, probably at the behest of Sam Bradford, who texted Murray. They don't call anybody anymore, by the way. But anyway, he reached out to Chip Kelly, said, hey, I want to come talk to you. And all indications are that he's going to Philadelphia with the intent to sign a deal. Now, I don't know if they've worked out parameters, but that's what the reporting has been this morning. His agent, his wife, apparently traveling with him to Philadelphia. Now, Tony, it's also been reported that he's open to Dallas kind of stepping up their offer at the last minute. Is the interest in Philly meant to spur Dallas on because it's a division rival? Hey, they want me, and you're going to have to face me twice a year in a very motivated DeMarco Murray.
Sure.
Who knows? You know. But in terms of the Jags' interest, people are saying, you know, are they still in it? Are they not in it? Well, they're in it to the degree that the Murray camp knows what the Jags are willing to pay for him, right? And the Jags have expressed interest, and there was legitimate interest in DeMarco Murray, but it's within the boundaries of what the organization thinks is reasonable to spend on him. So if DeMarco Murray likes what the Jags have on the table, so be it.
Sure.
But put it this way, if you ask, are they in it in the sense of, are they going to go back and forth and try to keep outbidding teams? No. They've got a limit to what they're willing to spend. They put that offer on the table, and we'll see where it goes from there. But, I mean, clearly at this point, it looks like that ship is sailing.
By the way, Mike.
It looks like DeMarco Murray's probably going to wind up being an Eagle, is what it looks like right now. What's up, Tyler?
I was going to say, by the way, Duval Doom would like to take credit for my rising celebrity.
Who?
Duval Doom wants to take credit for everything. And
who?
You can't have it, Johnny.
Who is... Oh, Johnny! Yeah. Now I know. I didn't recognize
Can't
the other
have
guy.
It. You get to sit in this studio one time, and now you think you're a big shot.
Seriously.
I see how it is.
Stop it.
But it looks like DeMarco Murray is on his way to Philadelphia is what's going to wind up happening with this thing. And look, I don't know. We know that DeMarco Murray's camp contacted Philadelphia. And honestly, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that DeMarco Murray's camp contacted Oakland and DeMarco Murray's camp contacted Jacksonville, because those were the two teams with an apparent, especially in Jacksonville,
an abundance.
Apparent running back need and a lot of money.
Yeah.
So they probably contacted, if they did, Jacksonville and Oakland to see, could we drive this price to a point where we want it to be? I saw a story even as late as this morning saying that Oakland and Jacksonville are still in it with DeMarco Murray, that DeMarco Murray's camp wants $8 million a year, and that those teams haven't been able to offer that to this point. No, they can, they won't.
If that's a question of being able to.
If they can offer $8 million a year, they don't think DeMarco Murray is worth $8 million a year. I don't know what's going to wind up happening with the contract in Philadelphia, but Philadelphia gets involved, and I think it is DeMarco Murray's camp going to a team where Dallas finally feels threatened about him going to a team that they care about him going to, because it's a division rival with an offense that is already very effective, and it would be a piece taken directly from your team and going to a division rival. I don't know what the money's going to wind up being in this situation, but we've talked about this from a Jaguars perspective. The expectation level is going up in Jacksonville because it has to. Nobody's putting a number on it. They're not saying that Gus Bradley needs to win 6 games to keep his job, but there probably is some level of competition that this team has to get to for Gus Bradley to keep his job. So they go into an offseason where there's an urgency, right? There's this urgency to, we got to get better now. We got to start winning games now. This has to happen now. Urgency can easily turn into desperation. And if you were a team like Jacksonville who you felt like you had a price point on a guy like DeMarco Murray because you don't have a feature back in your backfield right now, and they're saying, well, how about $8 million a year? DeMarco's camp is, you know, if you're going to go over the top, it's fine. Eight, just give us the player. But Jacksonville has been willing to stick to their guns. It's urgent. It's not crazy.
Right, but
the problem is,
you go, fine, here's eight, and he goes looking for 8.5.
Oh, sure.
Right? I mean, because that's the way the game is played sometimes. So, look, they made their effort, and it's not going to make everybody happy. There are people that didn't think they should go after DeMarco Murray at all. There are people that think they should go after him at all costs, okay? And the Jags are somewhere in between. Yes, they'd be interested at this price, whatever that exact number is. And I'm not privy to that number. I don't care, quite frankly, what the number is.
Me either.
They felt they made what they believed to be a competitive offer in the situation, and it looks like DeMarco Murray's looking for a different place to play.
And
so
let him.
Be it. Good, fine. All right. I don't have anything against DeMarco Murray. I'd like him to be in Jacksonville. If I were the GM, I probably would have blinked and overpaid him, but I'm not. Tony, 5 targets for the Jags in free agency.
Yes.
And you can look at it as they batted 3 out of 5 or they batted 1,000 on this. Because as Dave Caldwell told us yesterday, his priorities going into free agency were, in no particular order, Julius Thomas, Jeremy Parnell, Jared Odrick, who they were able to sign all three of those guys. Obviously, Odrick said he had a bunch of suitors, by the way. Name several of them.
It was maybe my favorite moment of his press conference is him being asked about, you know, how many teams were going to, I don't know if I should do this.
Is this against the rules?
Colts, the Chiefs. Then
Jets.
He turns around and he looks at Ryan Robinson. He's like, am I allowed to do this? He's like, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah, you can.
I don't know if I should be doing this. The
Jets.
It was so funny.
You got a sense that there were 3 or 4 more in
right.
there as well. But so those guys who obviously signed here. And he said McCourty. I asked him flat. I said, do you think you had the best offer on the table for McCourty? He goes, I think we did. You can't know that. You can't know what's going on in private conversations with other GMs and a player's representative, but he felt they had the most money on the table. Don't forget, McCourty, the story is McCourty called New England to say, I'm going to take somebody else's offer. Okay? And then New England blinked at the last minute. Like we're talking about, you know, with the DeMarco Murray situation, at the last minute, you kind of go off your thinking and say, we got to have this guy, and the emotion plays a role. Whatever it was, they kept McCourty, and then McCourty was effusive in his praise of the pursuit Jacksonville showed him and why he thought, you know, they're going to be winning in short order, that
sure.
kind of thing, right? So it makes logical sense that they may have had the best offer on the table, and that makes it burn a little bit more, although he did say, and boiling it down, through conversations, is it fair to say if you had signed McCourty, you wouldn't have signed Scooter, Sergio Brown, and who am I forgetting? And Devon House.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, that's basically it. We took the McCourty money. We spent it on those three guys. Now, I had people tweeting me yesterday after I tweeted that out. Well, that's BS. They could have signed all those guys. Well, they could, but they're not going to sign every penny that they have. You've got to keep money for, look, they're pursuing DeMarco Murray right now. To do that, you got to have a chunk of cap space, right?
Yep.
Now, they're going to sign other guys when the market cools down a little bit. You also have to sign your rookie class. You also have to keep a contingency fund. You also have to plan ahead to next year's free agency and how much money you'd like to potentially roll over. And right now, Dave Caldwell says they're sitting at about $25 million in available cap space
mm-hmm.
and projected to have $50 million next year. The fifth guy, to wrap up this point before we take our first break, was Randall Cobb.
Yep.
And he said, look, I'm not upset about McCourty and Cobb. I don't feel like I missed on those guys. There's nothing you can do. And I know there'll be some extreme fans that say, well, yeah, you can. You could offer them $5 million more a year than what you're offering. Well, okay, there's nothing you can do within your model of fiscal responsibility. And
right.
everyone's got one. And it's different for every team. But should you pay Randall Cobb $20 million? $20 million probably would have got him here. Should you have done that? I mean, at some point.
$20 million you would think would have got him here. But
you know what, Tony? You could have given him $60 and signed no one else, right?
Yeah.
The point about Randall Cobb I want to make is, he said the thing that made Randall Cobb so attractive to this team was that he would play him exclusively in the slot. And he said, we want to keep our young guys outside the numbers. Okay? We want to keep Allen Robinson and Marquise Lee as outside receivers. So when you start doing your calculations, should we be looking at a Michael Crabtree or the next guy down the list? Keep that in mind. He may, in fact, Dave Caldwell, sign a veteran wide receiver at some point in the process. It will very likely be a guy who will fit in the slot
yeah.
to balance out, because that's where he envisions those guys long-term. So if there's any thought, because there's a little bit of, is there a duplication of skill set between Marquise Lee and Randall Cobb? Not that it was a major concern, not certainly enough to keep them from pursuing him, but he thought, no. Outside, and then Cobb in the slot would have been ideal. Obviously, Cobb re-signed with Green Bay, but in terms of having a five-man wish list, two of them re-signed with their own team, you got the other three.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty effective.
Yeah, and we talked about it for the last couple of days, a plan in free agency, and this is a team, and talking to Caldwell yesterday, they certainly had a plan for what they wanted to do in the first 24, 48 hours of free agency, and it sounds like they've accomplished that. What they set out to do, they got. We'll see if it works on the field for this football team. And when he was talking about the slot, the first guy that came to my mind sitting there was Eddie Royal, who looks like he's going to be a Chicago Bear right now. It's what it sounds like. So he's going to be off the table, taking a look at some of the other vets who may fit that kind of criteria. But again, if you're looking for a wide receiver in free agency, keep that in mind. He's going to be playing the slot.
Bears took my guy's safety Antrell Roll. Told you I wanted that guy, man. He doesn't miss games. I know he's over 30 years old, but sign him to a 3-year deal. You watch. He'll go play some good football in Chicago for the next few years. Today, Tom Bush Family Dealerships fan feedback question of the day. after the initial wave of free agent signings, which positions do you think still need attention on the Jaguar roster? We've had a bevy of response to that already. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at the blistering hot, world-renowned, at 1010XL Tyler.
Yeah.
And maybe you, too, can get featured on NFL.com one day, ladies and gentlemen. Coming up, we have interviews. Yesterday on the show, we had Julius Thomas, Jared Odrick, Devon House, all live in studio. We hung around yesterday after the press conferences. Tony and I got some one-on-one time with Dan Scuda, with Sergio Brown, who's going to go full Ric Flair for you this morning. I mean, the full routine. And then Jeremy Parnell, who, among other things, will tell you what personality trait he feels is a key to success for an offensive lineman. All those interviews coming up on the show today. We'll also talk with the headmaster's son, Brian Coughlin, going to join us to talk about the J-Fun Wine Tasting Gala, which is coming up next Friday, March 20th, here in Jacksonville. So a lot to do today, and we'll squeeze in a few of your calls if you're so inclined at 641-1010. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Moment of the press conferences yesterday. Had to be a lovely exchange between Ryan O'Halloran and Jared Odrick yesterday. Paraphrasing how it went, O'Halloran says, "So, do you remember how much you guys spent, how much time you spent game planning for Julius Thomas when Miami played Denver last year?" Odrick replies, "Was he playing that week?
I'm not sure he played
that week.
Not
sure he was even in that game." Silence ensues for a second or two. O'Halloran replies, "I'm an idiot." Odrick goes, "All right."
Wah, wah.
Wah, wah. Oh, it was delightful, Tony. Really enjoyed that, that moment. Really, the funny thing, yesterday, Tony and I, we go upstairs with Fortunato. We're going to have a Sammy, and press conferences start at 2 o'clock, and we're going to hope to catch up with these guys and interview them for the show, which you're going to hear. In fact, Dan Scuda, about 2 minutes away. And Tony says something to the effect of, "On the phone right now with DeMarco Murray," and he's looking behind me, and standing right behind me is Dave Caldwell on his cell phone. I turn around, and he gave, I think he gave us all kind of a look.
Yeah,
like,
and then he walked across the room.
He walked away, like, you guys can't hear what I'm saying. I don't know what's up with that, but he gave us a weird kind of look. And so then we went back to eating, and then he just walks up to the table, and he knew we had several of the guys on. He goes, "What do you think of Julius Thomas?" And I'm like, "Well, I'll be honest with you. You guys don't sign dumb people, do you?"
Mm-hmm.
All six of these guys, Tony, good personalities, clearly very smart guys. You know, you get to talk to them one-on-one. Some more comfortable than others in a media setting.
Sure.
But we get to see them behind the scenes a little bit, too. All these guys, you're going to be happy having them represent your franchise, okay? You'll be really happy if they're good on the football field, obviously.
Agreed, yeah.
But he said, "Julius is intense, man." And, we haven't seen that much, right? We don't know what conversations he's had with Julius behind closed doors. And which is, I'm glad to hear that because, you know, the knock on him last year from guys like Shannon Sharp and unnamed sources in the Bronco locker room is that he quit on the team. He was soft down the stretch. He wouldn't play hurt. He's protecting himself through free agency. I love that the GM, who allocated $9 million a year, roughly, to Julius Thomas, thinks he's an intense competitor. He wants to get after it. You know, so we're talking about that. We're talking about all these different things. And we start getting into, you know, well, how are you going to use Scuda? How are you going to use Odrick? How are you going to use this guy? How are you going to use that guy? It was very informative, I thought. And he said, look, Scuda, like we expected, basically your auto linebacker, but he has the ability to have a little bit more versatility. We can use him in, you know, some sub packages, put him up near the line of scrimmage and just let him get after the quarterback.
Yeah, kind pass of rusher, kind of on yeah, third down
exactly.
If you want to, that kind of thing.
And you know, kind of what we expect. He's got his first shot in the door. He also said, look, doesn't mean we won't draft a linebacker. We need more linebackers on this football team. And, you know, JT Thomas, we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but it might have escaped people's attention, signed with the New York Giants. He was a versatile guy who could back up a number of positions here in Jacksonville. A guy I know you and I would have liked to have seen come back, Tony, but I don't know if at a $4 million a year price tag for a guy who would be a backup, that's what the Giants spent on him. Maybe he'll get to start at some point for the Giants. I don't know. Seemed like a lot of money, but that's kind of free agency, right? You got to pick what's worth it to you. So you know, Scuda will be your auto guy. Odric just likes his versatility. You know, could play all across basically three out of four positions on the defensive front. Loved Odric yesterday. We asked him, what's your role here? Attack. To set attack. Go get him some. Very smart guy as well. Just very impressive individuals. Sergio Brown going to be given an opportunity to come in. And regardless of whether Sergio Brown and Scuda win starting jobs or not, they're both going to be key special teams contributors. And Sergio Brown described as an A-plus special teamer by Dave Caldwell. Look, and I think he feels the same about Scuda.
They need that so badly. We talked about all the special teams problems this team had last year. And part of that was it didn't feel like there was a true core four. You know, these guys that are playing all four of those special teams units, it kept getting rotated around. They're trying different guys in different spots because of injuries or guys going into the starting rotation that they didn't want to overexpose. It just kept getting flipped around. And because of it, you'd have these lapses in what players were doing. Now, they need to go out there and do the job that they've been given. But you bring in guys this offseason, and obviously part of the reason they go after a guy like Scuda and Sergio Brown from Caldwell's perspective is they help us on special teams. And we're going to have guys that this is part of what they do here.
You know
we're
not who Seattle plays?
This is part of what we do here.
Tony, Earl Thomas, Richard Sherman are playing special teams in Seattle. So I know you know. I'm just saying that the quality of athlete, if your roster is a 9-win roster over the last 3 years. I know it's changed a lot, but if your frontline guys aren't winning, that means the backups probably aren't elite athletes either, and that's what they're trying to improve. Sergio Brown, he thinks he's an A++ athlete. He's a funny dude. We'll hear him coming up, but let's spend a few minutes here. Dan Scuda coming over from San Francisco to join the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you, Jaguars today. Continuing, let's welcome in another one of the newest Jacksonville Jaguars, Dan Scuda. Tony, wasn't on our radar. But, boy, you talk to a lot of the other guys that have signed here already, and they all brought up, they said, we got Scuda. This guy can play.
Yeah.
We're excited. We're talking with Dan Scuda right now. Dan, how are you? Welcome to Jacksonville.
I'm good. Thanks, guys.
You've been described by your former head coach, Jim Harbaugh, as something short of just a raging maniac, I think, when you get on the football field. Wild man, Wild West type guy, just a kind of a man's man who loves the game of football. How do you look at yourself?
Something like that. I definitely change when I get on the field. I definitely add a little more edge to myself, but mostly I'm just going to come here and just do whatever they want to make a winner and do what I can to help my teammates get better.
I know you've played both inside and outside at the linebacker position. Last year, basically, you asked to come in and fill in for Aldon Smith, who's a guy who was obviously trying to get his own things in order. For you, how do you view yourself as a player? What do you bring to the field?
I would say just an exciting guy that's going to make a lot of plays, going to do his job all the time. I'm not going to be a guy that's going to be doing my own thing out there. I'm going to play within the defense and do what's best to get our whole defense to play our best and try to make the guys around me better.
For you, what's the role that's been discussed with you? We talked with Dave Caldwell, the Jags GM, and he envisions you under Gus Bradley's system as kind of being that auto linebacker. Is that something they talked about with you and how they want to use you?
Yeah, so far that's what they've been describing to me. A guy that I can do multiple different things, being on the line, off the line, certain things. Different situations got me doing different things. So, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about an opportunity to show that I can do all those different things well for you guys.
Yeah, Caldwell also said that, pass rush is, third down, they're really looking for you to make some plays here. You feel that's one of the strengths of your game?
Yeah, I think it's starting to emerge back into a pass rusher that I was in college, and I think I'm starting to feel more and more comfortable with being that guy, so I would definitely like the opportunity.
What have your conversations been like? I know you're just getting to Jacksonville, but talk a little bit about the process and finally getting into this building, having the opportunity to meet Gus Bradley.
I'm definitely impressed with Gus and his whole philosophy. I didn't know a whole lot about Jacksonville. I did know Cam Bradfield, who played here last year and from college, and he definitely said that you guys are great here and that everything is awesome. He loved it here. And he said that I would love it. So that helped me a lot with my decision-making and feeling good about making the decision to come here.
One of the newest Jags, Dan Scuda, here with us on Jaguars Today. Dan, did you expect to be a guy who signed on the first day of free agency? I mean, I think that caught Jaguar fans by surprise. They were looking at some of the quote-unquote bigger-name guys out there. And then, obviously, the Jags made you a priority to get something worked out with you on that first weekend.
Yeah. I was excited, just excited that I was wanted. And a little bit, I guess it was surprised, but I mean, I hold myself, you know, I'm a confident guy.
You should be, right? No, I got you.
So I felt good about it, and my agent said that there was a lot of interest, that he thought there would be a lot of interest, and turned out there was. And yeah, I'm excited that I'm here. And
I think that contract backed up your confidence.
Yeah.
I think. I mean, they made it pretty clear they're confident in what you can do as well.
Absolutely.
And one of the things the Jags have been trying to do is bringing, you know, young ascending players, especially here early in free agency. How does it feel to be a guy that they obviously had in mind for a specific thing? They wanted you to come in and be the auto for this team going forward. How does that make you feel as a player hitting free agency?
Well, it makes me feel really good. Just being wanted is important to a player, and you know, being important to a team, and that's all you want, you know, is to help a team win and to be an important part of that team. And so if I can come in and do that, that's hitting a home run for me.
That's what Jag fans want. Look, we talk a lot about the culture of this place. They haven't had a lot of wins to talk about. You know, it's been 9 victories in 3 seasons. Despite that, we're glad to see that you were able to hopefully see something that you think is headed in the right direction. A lot of other guys came in along with you here, so you'll be on the same page with those guys. And we think big things are in store. We hope you're a big part of that, man. We appreciate you taking a few minutes with us. Look forward to getting a chance to know you a little bit better as we go along. Thanks for the time today.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
You know, you've scored 1 touchdown in your pro career. You remember who that was against, brother?
I do.
All right. We need to see a few more in games where they're playing.
That's right. There you go. Dan Scuda, we appreciate the time, man. We'll talk to you soon, all right?
All right.
How about Dan might have wanted to accost me there when I said, were you surprised to be signed on the first day? It kind of looked like, I think I'm pretty good. I'm pretty confident in my own abilities here. Look, the point being, let's be honest, Dan Scuda's not the household name. Doesn't mean he's not a good player. The league's full of guys like that. Effective, good players that, you know, you think of Julius Thomas, everybody knows him. Fantasy football, huge numbers, you
absolutely,
know.
Absolutely, yeah.
Beyond that, everybody knows Ndamukong Suh. They're big names. The guys in the top 10, those were the guys. We knew other guys would sign on the first day, but in terms of the Jags knocking down 6 like they did, I think several of those guys caught a lot of people by surprise, and there's nothing wrong with that. But if I'm Scuda, I'd be confident in my abilities as well. And like I said, that contract backed up the fact that the Jags are confident he can get the job done. Doesn't mean they're not going to add linebackers. They need to add linebackers to this football team, but they got one piece of the puzzle added in that direction. Sergio Brown, coming up next, the Jaguars' newest safety addition, now formerly of the Indianapolis Colts, had some funny stuff yesterday at the podium. Seems like a nice young guy, and he'll go full on Ric Flair. He'll tell us the story of how the Ric Flair impersonation started in Indianapolis, and he'll give you a sampling of what he brings to the table with the Ric Flair routine. That's coming up next. Jaguars Today continues. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. Got a tweet a moment ago, Tony, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, from Enfuego Sports Network, at Jags Outsiders on Twitter, said Dan Scuda said he got a great reference from Cam Bradfield, which he did, telling when guys who leave remain so complimentary of the team. Sergio Brown, in his press conference yesterday, brought up Winston Guy, giving a glowing endorsement of Gus Bradley. And, I mean, Winston Guy, I'm not saying it would be justified, but I figure if anyone's going to be bitter, Winston Guy went from, man, I'm a starting free safety all summer, to after a week, I'm gone. Poof, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's interesting. 2 guys who get cut middle of the season, like after the season has started, are still outside the building going, yeah, things
you'd
are good
there. You'd love to play there.
Yeah.
You'd love to play there. By the way, as far as the secondary goes, again, speaking with Dave Caldwell yesterday, a lot of people probably already inferred this or knew this, whatever, but just for clarity's sake, it's nice to get, even when you feel like you know A plus B equals C, and it makes logical sense. It's nice to hear the confirmation from the GM. Clearly, Devon House, we know the contract indicates he's a starter. Mm-hmm. So how will they use the other 2 corners? Well, he said they're really all starters, but Colvin's a slot corner. He said in our defense, he plays about 60% of the snaps. And he said if he competes and earns a spot, you know, as an outside guy, it's going to be at McCray's expense. It's not coming at House's expense. So clearly, House, they feel, is going to be their number one guy. McCray will be your other guy in your base defensive packages. And the thing they like about Colvin, I was talking with T-Wig about this, and I want to accurately attribute to, you know, who some of these thoughts are coming from. But, you know, Colvin is got that quickness to stay with those slot-type guys. You
he
know
does.
What I mean? And
yes.
you don't have the help, as T-Wig pointed out, from the boundary. You know, you can't use the sideline as an additional defender. You're kind of on a little bit more of an island almost when you're in the slot playing against the Julian Edelmans of the world, those quick, those Randall Cobb guys, you know, that this can shake you so easily. So,
and that's why it makes sense for House and McCray to kind of be those outside guys. Those
are bigger,
physical guys. Like, you go back and watch what House did, and we had the opportunity to talk to him yesterday, but he really is at his best when he's allowed to be up there and press man and get his hands on the guy across from him and get physical. And that's not something you're going to do a whole lot of in the slot. It's just not.
Sergio Brown, pencil him in right now as the top of the depth chart at free safety, right? Hey, it's only March. We're not playing games in the next week. But for right now, he's got a shot to win that spot. Obviously, it's his goal to come in here and do just that. And we had a chance to catch up with him and his Ric Flair impersonation yesterday. All right, joining us now here on Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. We got Sergio Brown, one of the newest members of the Jacksonville Jaguars. And Sergio, welcome to Jacksonville. I asked you a little while ago what you think the team envisions for you. Like, are you do they envision you coming in here and taking that starting spot? And your reply was, well, that's what I think, right? So welcome to town, man, and we hope you can make a contribution. What was it about Jacksonville that lured you here?
I mean, the talent that we had, the young talent, the potential, combined with the opportunity, it was kind of like the perfect storm, you know? I mean, the record from last year is kind of, I guess, discouraging for some people or at times, but I mean, we're here to win, right? And I feel like I could, contribute well to the team. We got some more pieces that's going to be able to contribute well to the team. The quarterback's in his second year, and he has an arm. I'm ready.
Sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit.
What were your expectations coming into free agency? I mean, a lot of fans don't know a whole lot about you, Sergio. And for you, here you are. It's day one of free agency, and you are locked down to the Jacksonville Jaguars. What were your expectations going in?
My expectations were, being locked down by somebody around this time. I thought about kind of seeing like what would happen if I played a field or something like that. But my expectations, like coming before that day actually hit, it was like, okay, I'm going to be signed on someone's team on the 10th.
Obviously, you go from the team that's been at the top of the AFC South, right? Mm-hmm. Playing with Andrew Luck, playing against the Jags for the last few years. I know you've been asked this, but just tell us what your impressions were from playing across from the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Playing against the Jags is, a win, basically. We had a great chance to win the game, but at the same time, we couldn't slip because they had a lot of young talent, and the speed of Jacksonville was a big highlight that I remember going into every week playing Jacksonville. Speed, and I mean, it showed on the field. Once we get the right direction, I think we're gonna go the right way fast.
You know, the Jaguars obviously had you as a priority, and that is why you're in so quick. They wanted you to come in and compete for that free safety spot. How does that make you feel as a player to know you're going to an organization that sought you out?
I mean, it's amazing. It feels a ton. You know, definitely with my last 3 years in Indy and the last one, especially, I mean, you've heard, okay, you have a chance to compete. You have a chance to compete, and it's really not the truth. You don't have a chance to compete. But I can tell this time I actually have a chance to compete. They believe in me. I got some respect. And it just is so, uplifting, and it's just great. It's wonderful. It's like I can't wait to get out there and actually, you know, go out there and do everything that I was, you know, that they gave me the opportunity to do.
Sergio Brown here with us. Dave Caldwell, GM, described you as an A-plus special teams player as well. And even if you do earn that starting free safety spot, he expects you to make a contribution on special teams as well. Seems like we're starting to see a little bit more of that with some of the better teams in the National Football League. Seattle is very prevalent that they use a lot of their starters on special teams. Tell us why you think you're so good at that aspect of football, and do you think it is becoming more commonplace to see starters used in that role?
I pride myself on being an exceptional athlete. I might not be the fastest guy, the quickest guy, the strongest guy, but I'm probably top three in all of them. You know, so it makes the special teams part pretty easy, because all you have to do is run and want it more than
effort,
the next guy.
Right?
Yeah, and I mean, you can see the effort I have on the field when you see special teams. But at the same time, it's the best athletes on the field a lot of the times on special teams. And on some teams, the best athlete actually plays defense and not special teams. And Seattle showed you you proof that, okay, if you manage your players well, you can get a great deal out of them on defense and special teams. And, you know, it's a copycat league.
A few moments ago, you sat down with Sergio, and I was going to pull up your stats so I could have them here in front of me while I was talking to you. And I'm Googling you, and I ask you if you ever Google yourself, and I'm showing you, and the first result is Sergio Brown, Ric Flair. How the heck did this whole thing start, and is it something you plan to bring with you here to Jacksonville?
it kind of like started all the way on accident. Like in training camp last year, you know, it's the dog days, and you need something to help you get through. And so Ric Flair came out of nowhere, but everybody loves Ric Flair.
Oh, yeah.
At least it was about five guys on the team that was Ric Flair during training camp. It'd be defensive guys making plays. Woo, woo! And the offensive people would make some plays, and they'd mock the defense. Woo, woo! And then you'll see Pat McAfee on the other field just by himself talking about, woo!
Punters are not allowed to have that kind of swag, man. What's going on? That's crazy.
So it just kept getting bigger, and I start then the quote, not the quotes, but the sayings and the rants and all the Ric Flair-ness start popping up, and I'm and stretch lines, Rolex wearing. And I'm like, the kid's stealing. And then Pat McAfee like, whoa, Sergio, he's not a kidnapper. He doesn't steal kids. He steals kisses. So, like, after we, like, figure that thing out.
Had to work out the details a little
bit. Work out the details, you know, and we got it right and got it good. And C-Red had to, now give me two claps and a Ric Flair. And they started doing that. So I took that and kind of worked it in there. And, you know, it was great.
All right, we got to put it all together. Give us Tony and I, we're dragging here. We need to get through the rest of this show today.
Come on, brother.
Give us a little motivation. Come on, fire us up and give us a taste of what it's going to be like at Jaguar practices this summer.
Got this guy hollering out my name when I've spent more money in bars on this side of the world than you make. You're talking to the Rolex wearing. Diamond ring wearing, kiss stealing, woo, wheeling, dealing, limousine riding, jet flying, son of a gun. And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down. Now give me two claps and a Ric Flair.
I clapped along with him. You can expect the first open practice, and probably everyone after that. You're going to be hearing nothing but that coming at you as soon as you roll out on that practice field, man. Hey, look, obviously we want to see you guys have a ton of success. Haven't seen that in the win column a lot in the last few years, but doesn't matter. 2015 is a new day. Got a lot of new teammates, obviously, to integrate yourself with, and some new talent coming in this free agent class with yourself, Sergio. We look forward to getting to know you a little bit better as we go along. Remember, They're stealing kisses, not stealing kids. But we appreciate you taking some time with us today, man. Oh, yeah. And go out there and steal that. Don't steal it. Just take that free safety spot, man, and make an impact this year.
For sure, for sure.
All right, there you go. Sergio Brown, one of the newest members of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Woo!
Woo! I think I do a better woo than he does, but that's just me. I think I do a better everything than everybody, Tony. So why should that come as a surprise?
You're a British accent.
Except that. My Aussie accent, no question. But I do the best hacker. I do a better hacker than Hacker does.
You got a good hacker.
I do have a good hacker. Coming up in hour two, Brian Coughlin. Son of the headmaster will join us, and we'll talk about the J-Fun Wine Tasting Gala. Tickets still available, I do believe, for next Friday's encounter downtown. I'll be there, and as will a number of other folks you will recognize. And also, Jeremy Parnell, fun guy. I'd draw him out a little bit, Tony, but he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and you better have that if you're an offensive lineman. You'll hear our conversation with Jeremy Parnell coming up in hour two as well. This date in football history and the Honda drive around the NFL straight ahead. It's Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you by the best fence company of Jacksonville. You know, yesterday, Tony, we skipped this date in football history because we had Julius Thomas and Jared Odrick join us live, and I think that was the right decision to make.
Yeah, it could perhaps go down as one of the biggest days in free agency history for the Jaguars.
No question. But, and we'll talk about that next year on this date in football history, but as far as yesterday went, it was the anniversary of the institution of NFL Instant Replay. I want to say 1986 was the year. Today, 1990, on March the 12th, the L.A. Raiders announced they would once again become the Oakland Raiders, and they were on their way out, and now they're trying to crawl their way back. Who cares? That's your problem out there, Oakland. Don't see you landing too many of those big-name guys. All your money was supposed to bring you. Huh, Oakland? Huh, Del Rio? Anyway, Raiders, who cares where they play? Inconsequential. And that's all I got for you on this date in football history. Brought to you by the best fence company at Jacksonville. Fabricating and installing the highest quality fencing products for you at competitive prices while providing unsurpassed customer service. Best Fence Company, they'll provide you a free professional estimate at your convenience if you call them at 268-1638 or visit bestfencejacks.net for more information. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
Yeah, I saw Troy Wingo making a joke earlier this week that the Jaguars have all this money to spend but can't find anybody to take their money.
Hey, Troy Wingo, you're a joke, pal.
I was about to say, are you paying attention, Trey?
Seriously.
Have you paid attention?
You mean the fact that they've signed more than any other team out there?
Oh, my goodness. The Raiders still looking. They could pay a center $7 million a year, but DeMarco Murray is expected to visit Philadelphia today, and many think that his plan is to sign a contract today with the Eagles. Running back Ryan Matthews agreed to a contract with Philly yesterday, but has not signed a deal yet. Some are questioning whether he will, depending on what the outcome is today with DeMarco Murray. Veteran free safety Antrell Roll has signed a 3-year, $11.25 million deal, $5 million guaranteed. He's now a member of the Chicago Bears. The Bears also expected to sign wide receiver Eddie Royal. Running back C.J. Spiller scheduled a visit to New Orleans today. Regarding the Jaguars, in case you missed it, Ryan O'Halloran tweeted out yesterday that Julius Thomas will be joining his new quarterback Blake Bortles next week in Southern California for Bortles' unnamed offseason get-together with all the pass receivers on the team. I think he makes number 11 that will be joining that camp. Yesterday was a busy one for pro days as well. Alabama, Louisville, Oklahoma, Southern Cal all had their pro days yesterday. Word came out that both Amari Cooper and safety Landon Collins have scheduled visits with the Jags. Today, Bud Dupree and Kentucky, among 11 other schools, will be holding their pro days.
So you're saying when Cleveland sends their two first-round picks to Jacksonville as part of a package to attain Marcus Mariota, that the Jags may be drafting Amari Cooper and Landon Collins if they're fortunate enough to have them fall to them?
They might.
I mean,
they're at least going to have a conversation.
You're not looking at Landon Collins, other than doing due diligence, I think, on a potential trade back, right?
And I think that's what, if the free agency, what they've done and talking to Caldwell, basically he said he felt like they're in a position where they don't have to go get somebody at this position. If they had to go play football tomorrow, they feel pretty good about fielding a team.
Exactly what
you
said.
So you have flexibility now at the top of the draft. You can move down and still feel like you're in a good position if you're Jacksonville, as opposed to really giving away the opportunity to get a guy that you have to have at this position to make your team better. Now, that doesn't mean that they don't love a guy at three. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that they aren't going to have a favorite pass rusher or pass catcher or anything in this draft. It simply means that they can be more comfortable moving down than maybe they would have been 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and look, I think the best news in this whole potential market for Marcus Mariota, if there's going to be one, is the report yesterday from John Clayton saying that the Washington Redskins, I forget the exact wording, would very likely take him at number five if he's available. Saw another report today basically saying that Gruden could care less about RG3, right? I mean, just named him the starter just to not have to deal with the daily questions about who's your quarterback, and he'll go from there, but would not hesitate to replace him. You know, Chip Kelly comes out yesterday, Tony, says, you know, it's not our MO. We're not going to mortgage the future, I think is the phrase he used, to spend all that draft capital to trade way up there. It's not something, we're not going to do something crazy like that. Maybe he's throwing smoke screens out. Maybe he's not. He's not the only one that could be interested in swinging a deal like that. He claimed he got an offer of a first round pick for Bradford. I don't think it's out of the question. You know, a lot of people suggest, I was talking with T-Wig about this yesterday. He brought up Cleveland, but I think a lot of people have made that connection, with the Cleveland Browns. Cap space, need of a quarterback. We talk about, you know.
Sure.
Couple of first round picks, send your second one, you get a Bradford in the house for a year, and you get him under your control, at least in terms of at the very least you could franchise him. It's tough to give up a first round pick for a guy though on a one, with 1 year left on his deal. He's going to have to be willing, you're going to have to invest that's going to be the guy for say the next 4 years, right?
And do you feel comfortable with Sam Bradford giving him that kind of contract, considering it's now two ACLs?
What's the alternative right now? They've got McCown, and they, who knows with Manziel, who's still in rehab as of a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
I think it's going on 5 weeks maybe.
Oh my goodness, you remember when just last
remember
off-season,
when I said they should draft Johnny Manziel? Yeah. I'd be excited about that, Tony.
Just last offseason you would have been having this conversation saying, should the Jags be interested? Like, you'd at least have to discuss it. Should the Jags be interested? And now it's like, let everybody else that doesn't have anything at the quarterback position try to figure it out for now. We got Blake Bortles, at least for the present. Maybe.
Not our problem. Looking at the list of available free agent running backs.
Oh, it's a great list.
It's brutal is what it is of what's out there. If DeMarco Murray, in fact, comes off the board and goes to Philadelphia, as signs indicate he probably will. Justin Forsett, this is one ranking at walterfootball.com, so don't take it as gospel. It's their opinion on how these guys rank the available free agents at the beginning of the period. Justin Forsett.
I always like Forsett.
I do too. He's a great guy, by the way. Phenomenal guy.
And every time he's gotten the opportunity to play, he's succeeded. Last year, never more so than last year when he was in Baltimore. But he was good while he was in Seattle. He was good while he was in Houston. And I think he would have been good if he could have gotten on the field and healthy here. Yeah.
Got hurt. And, you know, look, but he's 29.
Yeah.
You're not going to make him the centerpiece. And he's more to me. He would be a great fit. Pairing him with Mark Ingram in New Orleans in that Pierre Thomas role.
Sure.
Right? And you don't have to rely on him for as many carries. Can he hold up again? Right now, Baltimore's trying to re-sign him and maybe make him the centerpiece, at least for the time being, of the depth chart at running back. But so you go beyond that. Shane Vereen signs with the Giants.
Yep.
Right? Which, by the way, he called that a step up. Did you see that from going from the Patriots to the Giants? Did you see that?
They just won a Super Bowl, bro.
I don't care. I love that, man. If I were you, I'd be like, hey, you know what? We beat the Patriots twice. Ryan Matthews.
Is he or isn't he going to be an Eagle?
Here's the thing, right? Dave Caldwell does not seem to trifle with guys with significant injury histories. I think it's becoming more and more concrete evidence. I'm not saying he'll never sign a guy who's had an injury or even a major injury.
I mean, they drafted Colvin.
Absolutely, right? But he's a young player,
yeah.
And they were getting a bargain of several rounds of draft value on a guy like that. You're going to go out and you know, pay Ryan Matthews $4 million a year to come in if in fact things fell apart in Philly, which will be interesting to watch if they do. Because the deal's not official, hasn't been signed yet. Ryan Matthews agreed to terms 3 years, $12 million. Do they want Murray and Ryan Matthews to go along with Darren Sproles? And I don't know. Because don't know. If Murray gets the kind of contract he's looking for, that's like feature back every down kind of money. And it seems like a waste of resources to pay Ryan Matthews $4 million bucks. But whatever. Gore off the board to Indy. CJ Spiller, to me and you, he's not that workhorse type guy. He is a playmaker. There's no question about that. But I think he's looking for more money than the Jags would be willing to spend based on the role that I could envision for him in their ideal world. I think a thumper is what they want. They want a guy who can hold up to 250 carries and
be at least
your first and second down guy with the ability to play on third down, but you know, have that ability to carry a load. Mark Ingram, to me, would have been a guy like that. He re-signed with the Saints, 4 years, $16 million. Several people have tweeted me in the last 24 hours about Knowshon Moreno. Coming off an ACL, guy's always been hurt. He's an effective runner, but he's in his upper 20s now with an extensive injury history. Don't see it. Helu signed with Oakland.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess they have signed a couple guys. I kid with you, Del Rio. Ahmad Bradshaw's 80.
I like Ahmad.
He's a good player.
Like he's another one of those guys. He just can't stay healthy.
But and the thing with him, Tony, again, classic, the way they used him, they wanted Richardson to be the thumper, take the pounding, and Bradshaw caught all those passes. He could carry the ball as well, but again, you're right, can't stay healthy. Good player when he is. Asiata, Anton Smith, these are not the answers. Reggie Bush, they're not the answers.
No.
Right? So it's becoming more and more evident.
Draft ho.
Right. Maybe a priority in the draft now. We'll see. You know, it depends on where their picks end up being. If they stand pat, we know where they are. And if that's the case, top of the second round, top of the third round are your likely landing spots. If you can get a guy you really like at the top of the second round, if you could get Todd Gurley, I just don't think Gurley and Gordon are going to be there at that spot.
Yeah, if it falls through with DeMarco Murray, which it certainly looks like it is going to right now. That's the way it looks right now. So if they're not going to land DeMarco Murray, turn your attention towards the draft. Stop. Don't even ask yourself about, well, what about this guy? What about that guy? There's not anything out there that fits what the Jaguars were looking for in a guy that they were bringing in to be that first and second down guy, to be the workhorse back. They got three third down backs. They're not bringing in another one. That's not what they're going to do. And guys like Reggie Bush and these guys that we were just talking about, that's what they are right now in the league. You're not bringing in any of those guys. It's Murray or draft at this point for the Jags at running back.
We're speaking about the Giants, by the way. Tom Coughlin got a one-year contract extension yesterday. So a Merry Christmas once again in the Coughlin household. Brian Coughlin will join us next. We'll talk about the J-Fun Wine Tasting Gala. Great charity event that's coming up next Friday in downtown Jacksonville. Also coming up in the next segment, Jeremy Parnell sat down with us in the studio yesterday. You'll hear our conversation with the Jags' new starting right tackle. That's all straightforward on Jaguars Today. 1010XL, 92.5 FM. All right. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today, 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Coming up in a couple of minutes, hear from Jeremy Parnell. Tell you why Dave Caldwell really liked this guy in free agency. By the way, somebody told me yesterday, it wasn't Caldwell, Doug Marrone tweeted this out, thinks he's a freaking stud. Right. Then I tweet that out, and then some Buffalo fan comes back and says, great, you wait till Marrone gets his hands on him, and he'll be anything but. And I'm like, you're just a
sick burn, bro.
Such a bitter Bills fan.
I'll tell you this, and I was sharing this with you and JP Shatterick. While we had a little bit of time before the press conferences got started yesterday, I watched Parnell and the Cowboys play their wild card game. And on the last significant snap of the game for the Cowboys offensively, when they scored the go-ahead touchdown there at the end, He's blocking Johnson, and he comes off the line and he punches him almost in the neck, and then he punches him in the chest and just holds him up for 5 seconds while Romo is running around trying to make a play that winds up winning the game. But he punches a dude twice on the same play. He's a really aggressive guy. I think Jaguar fans are gonna really enjoy.
He's low, kind of low key, right in person, but. Wait, well, you'll hear what he had to say coming up in just a few minutes.
By the way, some breaking news. Ryan O'Halloran just tweeted out the Jags have released Red Bryant.
Which we expected to come. We'll get more on that coming up in just a few minutes. So, Red, thank you for your year of service here and helping get that Jags D-line straightened out. Let's welcome in Brian Coughlin, son of TC, son of Tom, the first coach and architect of your Jacksonville Jaguars with the 11th annual Tom Coughlin J-Fun Wine Tasting Gala upcoming. Brian, of course, a member of the J-Fun Board of Directors. Brian, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Doing well.
Good. I'm looking forward to it. I never miss this event every year. It raises a bunch of money for a great cause, and we think that we've reached a point of saturation, but I'm sure it's not true. Explain in a nutshell, Brian, for folks who may not know, what does the J Fund do here on the First Coast?
Well, the J Fund is here to provide support for families who are affected by childhood cancer. And what we do is, almost in every case when a family is faced with childhood cancer, a parent either has to leave work or take a long break from work in order to provide the child with the support they need, both emotionally and otherwise. And so the J Fund fills in and gives them funds to pay their bills, whether it's a mortgage, whether it's to put gas in the car, keep the lights on, keep the heat on. Those are the things we are there to do so that they can focus on what's important, and that's getting the child well.
Yeah, every year we do the Radiothon, which has raised a lot of money, and it's great, and we appreciate all the support of folks out there. They write checks, they put their credit card down, and they make great donations, and it's been fantastic. This is a great event next week, with the wine tasting gala. You can make that donation in the form of purchasing a ticket, and you get so much more back, on the night of entertainment and food and drink. It's fantastic. A lot of people watching going on as well. Are tickets still available, Brian, and how many would you estimate?
Well, Mike, first of all, 1010XL is fantastic to the J Fund, and we thank you for that. There are still tickets available, although they are running low because this is such a great event every year. For now 11 years we've done it. 250 world-class wines, 30-some plus of the area's top restaurants. You get all you can have to eat, all you can drink responsibly for the low, low price of $120 per ticket. So please go to the website tcjfund.org and get your tickets. Have a great time with us. There'll be plenty of great auction items, plenty of celebrities. The Jaguars' top brass are always so good to us, and we expect that Coach Bradley and his wife and Dave Caldwell will be there circulating and talking to fans and contributing to what is always a fun night in downtown. And it just so happens, Mike, that this year it is sandwiched in between the 2 days of the NCAA tournament. So it's, you know, we're happy to contribute to a wonderful weekend in downtown Jacksonville.
Not a bad atmosphere,
no,
Tony.
That's going to be pretty cool. Brian Coughlin joining us here. And, you know, it's humbled every year that I get to be a part of this and, you know, spread the word of the J Fund and what you guys are doing over there and how much you do help families here on the First Coast. I want to ask you, though, how did the idea for the wine gala come up? Like, where did this come from? I know you've been doing it now for 11 years.
That's right. The other big event we do is the Golf Classic, and believe it or not, our 20th Golf Classic is in May. But the idea was to have something downtown that might be oriented to younger folks. The Golf Classic is open to limited groups of people and sometimes can be more corporate driven. And so we wanted to have a nice night for young people downtown to come out, learn about the J Fund, still have a great time, and put their hard-earned money towards a great cause. So it was something that was a good counterpart to the golf event. The golf event is in Ponte Vedra, whereas this is downtown, and this is top flight and something that everybody can do and do on any budget.
And as Brian said a moment ago, for folks out there, you know, typically you'll see Gus Bradley, sometimes Dave Caldwell, you see members of the brass, a sprinkling of players as well, some older Jaguars, some former Jaguars that just show incredible loyalty to your dad, which is fantastic. Brad Meester made it in last year despite being out of the league. That was cool to see, and boy, had he dropped a lot of weight. But Brian, I kid you not, it's $125. If you doubled the price, people would more than get their money's worth. Like I said, 36 of the top restaurants and eateries on the First Coast, all the wine, it's from 6:30 to 9:30. Be smart like my wife and I. We get a hotel room at the Omni every year for this event so we can walk a couple of blocks over down the street and take advantage of this. But it's absolutely a fantastic event, and it's at the Wells Fargo Center next Friday. You can go to tcjfund.org, the initials tcjayfund.org. Get all the details there. It's from 6:30 to 9:30. As Brian said, Brian, they might have even scheduled this for you on purpose. You got basketball on Thursday. You got the J Fund Wine Tasting Gala on Friday. You got more basketball on Saturday. Sounds like the perfect weekend to me, my man.
Well, I'm glad to to throw my weight around when important decisions need to be made, like scheduling, so we don't miss any of that.
Thank you.
That weekend.
All right. Hey, Brian, I'll look forward to seeing you out there next week. And continued thanks from all the folks on the First Coast for not only what your dad has done, but your entire family and extended family are the ones who really make this thing go on a day-to-day basis. So I'll look forward to seeing you and the family next week at the J-Fund Wine Tasting Gala.
So thank you guys for your continuing support. You're the best, and we look forward to seeing you next week. And for your listeners, hope to see you too.
All right, there you go. And we can see you there. TCJFund.org, $125 a ticket. And, again, the best silent auction with some amazing sports memorabilia deals on golf on the First Coast, all kinds of vacation packages, just a cool atmosphere, a lot of fun. You got plenty of time after work to get out there and do what I do. Like I say, you take a designated driver, take a cab, something like that, or get a hotel room and really get your money's worth, Tony, at the
Enjoy
Wine Tasting
the evening,
Gala.
Yes.
The first word in Wine Tasting Gala is wine. The second is tasting, okay? I don't care about the gala aspect of it, but give me that. Red Bryant, a release today, Tony, by the Jacksonville Jaguars. You knew it was coming.
Yeah.
And you know, talking with Dave Colwell yesterday, it was pretty evident. He said, look, we're going to meet with the coaches. We're going to decide. But
said the same thing in the press conference,
exactly.
Too.
And hey, Red, thank you for your service. He came in here, helped make that the best unit on the team last year. Now you're bringing Jared Odrick. You feel like you're upgrading. Okay. You got Odrick and Alualu, who both play that spot and both offer the versatility to slide into either of the defensive tackle spots. So now you're looking at, you can shove Odrick inside with some Derek Marks on third downs. You could play him on early downs on the outside. You've got some versatility there, and it seemed like that was coming. You know, the other guy, people ask a lot of questions about Mercedes Lewis. Some people have been tweeting me, it's a done deal, he's out of here. There's no way he's out of here. First of all,
no.
There's no other tight end on the roster, okay?
Right.
But at this point, I will say I'll be surprised if he plays for his current figure, his current salary figure. That's me guessing. The guy, Tony, I told you I have my eye on, it's still available in free agency, is Anthony Fasano. He's 31 years old, and to me, he gives you everything pretty much Mercedes Lewis gives you. Smaller target, but you've got your target now in Julius Thomas. Anthony Fasano is a good inline blocking tight end. It's going to cost a hell of a lot less than Mercedes Lewis's cap number. At least I would think he would. That's a guy, you know, not a sexy name, but I would personally have him on my wish list for the Jags going forward. Here's what we're going to do. We'll take a little early break here so we can come back on the other side. We'll play the Jeremy Parnell interview, Jags' new starting right tackle, and we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today, asking you after the initial wave of six signings by the Jacksonville Jaguars, what areas, what positions on the roster do you feel still need the most attention? We'll get to that coming up next. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Right down the home stretch we go. We'll get to Fan Feedback Spotlight, brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships momentarily. Jeremy Parnell, quickly, before we hear our interview with him, Tony, talking with Dave Caldwell about Parnell, and actually talking a little bit about Bulaga as well. I think it just boils down to this. He likes Parnell's athleticism versus Bulaga in that regard. Not that Bulaga's not a bad player. He's a good player.
Sure.
I said, you know, I haven't gotten a chance to know much about Parnell yet. I said, the thing I liked about Bulaga is how nasty he is. I think that offensive line here needs some of that infusion. I think Jeremy Parnell can bring some of that nastiness here. So he really likes the athleticism. He made the point that every time they kept watching DeMarco Murray tape, and who is this guy just blowing everybody off the ball on the right side? And it was Parnell time after time. And so I tweet that out yesterday where Caldwell said every time he watched DeMarco Murray tape, he was impressed by Jeremy Parnell. And, of course, somebody replied, oh, what, he only watched six games? You know, you just can't win. Honestly, you just can't win. And I'm sure he was meaning that a little, you know, hyperbole. Maybe not every time. Maybe there were some games he watched that Doug Free was playing right tackle. But the point being, when he watched the Dallas tape and Parnell was playing, he really liked what he was doing over there. And I think he will bring a little bit of an edge. And we talked to him about that and some other stuff. So here you go. Jags have gone out and spent some money in the first couple days of free agency here, and they've found themselves a new right tackle from the Dallas Cowboys. Jeremy Parnell joining us here on Jaguars Today. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you. First off, Jeremy, welcome to Jacksonville. I see you looking around the studio and all this stuff. Is that Baselli? That's Baselli up there. You probably know that guy.
Yeah, I know that guy.
We expect you to play at a Baselli-like level at the right tackle position.
Why would you put that much pressure on me?
Come on, man. I saw
welcome
the contract,
to town, buddy.
No, seriously. Welcome to town, man. It is a position that the Jags prioritized working on in the offseason. And you got to feel really good because they came right after you. Dave Caldwell said he had five main targets. You were one of those guys they wanted to get done. So the pursuit and the interest they showed had to be pretty flattering.
Yeah, it is. I'm happy that they gave me the opportunity to be here. I'm so thankful to be here. Man, they got in touch with my agent on late Saturday. Man, I got here and I was overwhelmed by how great of a guy Coach Gus Bradley is. Y'all wonderful facilities. Man, oh my God, I'm in love.
You know, 6 years ago, did you imagine you could be in a place like this? I mean, you're playing college basketball that isn't working for you. You're trying football at Ole Miss, and here you are. You're on your second contract in the National Football League.
It's a dream come true. Like, I never thought I would be here, but I knew this. I had to change some things about myself. I had to get my mind focused when I was given the opportunity by Houston Nutt. And, man, they believed in me, got picked up by the Saints. Coach Cromer helped me find a position, and all I did was put my head down and I worked. And I'm here sitting in front of you guys today.
You talked a moment ago at the press conference you're holding that Bill Callahan basically opened the top of your head and started shoving all kinds of info in there. There's a lot of technical aspects to playing the position that probably get overlooked a lot of times.
Yes, it is. And offensive lineman is a smart man's game. I mean, it's different philosophies. If you want to run a gap plays to wide zone, you got to know where the mic is, which is a simple point, but it's different plays. But I'm so thankful for having Callahan and what he done for me, and I'm very appreciative.
You know, I've gone back and watched a little bit of film on you since the Jaguars were rumored to be signing you. And, you know, I see a guy who looked like he used to play basketball. You can see the athleticism on the field. I also see a bit of a temper out there on the field. Do you feel like that's something you bring, is that aggressiveness?
I don't have a temper.
An edge.
An edge. Yes, I do bring an edge. I like the aspect of playing right. Right is right tackle. You have to be physical. You have to not back down from any challenge. You just have to go after a guy and be nasty. Frank Pollock with the Dallas Cowboys used to always say, you got to be a prick. Got to be a nasty prick. So he incorporated that into the offensive line, and I took some of that from him, and I really appreciate him for doing that.
We can always use some of that, man. I think linemen need to have that that personality trait. Jeremy Parnell here with us. Nicest guy, by the way, at the moment, I hope. what do you feel like your strengths are? Again, Dave Caldwell said watching film. They're watching film with DeMarco Murray. He told me every time I look, Parnell's blowing somebody off the ball. Run blocking, pass blocking, you feel like you're equally proficient?
Yes, you can always get better. Every day you can always get better. And I say that, but I have length. I have athleticism. I'm relentless, and you gotta have that to be in the National Football League. You have to play with an edge. If you play soft, if you play timid, if you play unaware, you fail. So I'm here to say that I like to be edgy. I like the attitude that comes with playing the right side.
Mike and I have had the opportunity to meet a bunch of the guys coming in as part of this signing class with the Jaguars, and one of the common themes has been the Jaguars came to all of you guys with a plan. It wasn't just, hey, we want you in Jacksonville. We want you in Jacksonville, and this is what we want you to do. This is what we see you doing. Do you feel like they had the same thing for you? Did they come to you and say, this is where we want to use you?
Coach Gus Bradley told us to be the best version of ourselves every day, and just put your head down and come down to work. And if you do that, the sky's the limit. That's all you got to do is believe in the work, believe in the process, and the sky's the limit.
You know, you said something in the press conference again a minute ago. You said, no matter how good you are, you can always get better. You can always work on stuff. And that really fits. Gus's main philosophy is the three most dangerous words are I got this, right? Yeah. Once you think you've made it, that's when you're really in trouble, and you seem to embody that kind of spirit. It's probably the road you've taken has helped you, I would imagine, in that regard.
Yeah, man, I came from nothing. Everything I got in this league, I had to grind for, and I feel that that's the mindset I have to take in order to continue to have success in this league. So that's the mindset I'm going to take.
It's your first opportunity to speak directly to the fans here, at least on 1010XL. What do you want to say? You're in Jacksonville. What kind of person, what kind of player are we getting in Jeremy Parnell?
I'm going to give you the best version of myself every day. And that's all I can add. That's all I can give you. That's all I can say to you. And that's all I can promise you.
Now, we look forward to seeing
put
that.
Put J.J. Watt on his keister a couple times.
Just a couple times a game every time we hook up with the Houston Texans. Jeremy, much success.
I'll talk
here,
to
man.
Smack. You don't have to. I'll talk
yeah,
to Smack.
Yeah,
we'll
trust us. We run our mouths plenty and cannot back it up one iota, but we have a feeling you can take care of your own business out there. Welcome to Jacksonville on behalf of all those Jag fans out there hungry for a winner. Good luck getting those W's this year, and thanks for taking a few minutes with us.
Thank you all for having me.
So chill, Tony, but I have a feeling
he's not
that,
chill.
That is not going to be chill. They have needed the nasty prick on the offensive line. They have needed it. Tony Boselli, I say this with the highest compliment to you. You are the nastiest prick on the offensive line.
He was a bad dude.
That we had seen in a long time and haven't seen that.
Like that picture. He's nasty.
I love that, man. I was so, when I heard that yesterday, I just said, that is exactly what this offensive line needs. That's exactly what this team needs. I am so happy that Parnell, it's just, oh, he made me smile so much with that yesterday, Tony. Very, very good. Bring that attitude. You know, the kind of guy where if you lay a finger on my quarterback, even legally, I'm going to bury you. I'm just going to put you in the ground, and I am just going to, I am going to be the enforcer out there. That's what they need. They need an enforcer on that offensive line. He has so many young guys. He's not a very experienced guy by NFL standards, but he's been in the league for a long time, right? He is the elder statesman in many ways, along with Beatles, I guess, on this offensive line.
And it feels like Linder has a little bit of that in him.
Agreed. It's tough to lead by example like that as a rookie.
Right, and he's going to have that guy next to him now. Like, I think that whatever of those traits a guy like Linder has are only going to come out more when he's playing next to Parnell, honestly. And I'm curious to see how it's going to affect the rest of the line. I'm excited about Parnell getting here. I have enjoyed so much watching him for the last couple of days. He's been fun.
He seems so genuine. I just can't believe how lucky I am to have this opportunity with this organization, with the coaches that have steered me in the right direction. I mean, Houston Nutt changed his life, man. He saw him on the basketball court. He said, bro, that body is going to earn you a lot of money, but it's not going to be in basketball, okay? And he talked about how he squandered it in college. You know, he was a college kid. He didn't take it seriously. He wore it, man. He owned it yesterday. He's like, man, you know what? It's made me the guy I am today. I don't take it for granted any opportunity I get. And he's got a big one here. He walks in as your starting right tackle, and I hope he brings that nasty every freaking Sunday afternoon. I just love that, man. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, because when he said that yesterday, I thought that's the quote of the week right there. And not just because it's a little bit salacious. I just thought it was fantastic. All right, let's look at the fan feedback spotlight, Tony. A lot of feedback on this one today, asking you after the initial wave of free agent signings, what areas still need upgrading attention for the Jags, whether that's free agency or the draft. People took it both ways. What did we get?
From Paolo, it would be really great to have more depth on the safety position and add competition to the offensive line. From Nick, Leo, middle linebacker, free safety. Hope we address these positions in the draft. Need more speed on defense, especially at middle linebacker. From Paul, wide receiver and free safety. Should have just put a bit more money in front of Cobb and or McCourty. May not have helped at all, Paul, in either one of those things. From Brett, linebacker, we don't have any depth. And that's largely true. From Hadari, there isn't a backup center on the roster, so signing a vet in free agency is a major need. From Black Dog, we got anybody who went to school with Marco Murray. I guess he's hoping we could get our own guy to recruit Marco and drop the D.
That's all right.
From Irish Jaguar, free safety. and maybe 2016 before we can address that to a satisfactory level, though. Hashtag that Irish word I won't say. From Brian, free safety. However, upgraded defense might help Josh Evans out and make that less of a need. From Scott, could do with some experience at wide receiver, maybe more competition at center. I'm already pleased, though, with what they've done in free agency. From T-Mock, depth at O-line. Better option at running back and veteran wide receiver. More offense. From Quentin, wide receiver, in all caps. He screamed it at us. From Eric, would really like to see safety address more and another offensive line. From Bobby, linebacker, slot wide receiver, and maybe center. If we had injuries at linebacker, do we feel good about the backups? And finally, from Cam, still need a bell cow running back, but I see that in the draft. Focus on interior offensive line and free agency.
All right. I agree. The offensive line competition, although Pastor now becomes a key guy on this offensive line, right? He could conceivably be a primary guy at three different spots as a backup, right? Both guard positions and right tackle, I think. I think, what Dave Caldwell told us yesterday, let's say they had an injury to Luke Jokel. Well, Parnell's moving to left tackle, right? He's got the ability to play there. You've got some pieces, a little bit of an upgrade there. I think a significant upgrade at the one position, but overall depth, I definitely think is an issue. Linebacker screaming out for, some more talent. I think Jeremiah George was an interesting guy. We'll talk more about him as we go along, maybe tomorrow. David Garrard, by the way, in with us tomorrow. Hopefully we'll get a few minutes both with J.P. Shadrick and Brian Sexton tomorrow. They've been hitting up some of these pro days with some of the big-time defensive line prospects out there. J.P. was out at Nebraska last week. Randy Gregory, also Abdullah, the running back, he can talk about. And Brian was raving about he just got back, as a matter of fact, from Southern California out at USC's Pro Day watching Leonard Williams. So try to get a scouting report on both of those guys coming up on tomorrow's program, Tony. My swan song, we got to come up with a Friday top five as well.
I was just thinking about that. I was like,
I have not given any thought to it. It is either Friday, and it's my last day for 10 days. I'm taking next week off, so with the weekend thrown in.
Stuck with me for a week.
I will be taking in a little basketball. I will be taking in the wine tasting gal. I'll also be taking in some of the finer golf courses I can get my butt out to, and just taking a little downtime with the family. So looking forward to that with my kid on spring break next week. What a fun last few days it has been to be in this building. And it's been just a great beehive of activity, man. I'm having a blast just being right in the middle of it. It's fantastic. I don't expect any bit more big flurries from the Jags. The DeMarco Murray thing, like we said a billion times today, looks like that ship is clearly sailing. Even if he doesn't end up in Philly, I think it's extremely unlikely he ends up in Jacksonville at this point. But as Dave Caldwell said, hey, you know what? Next week, when things settle down a little bit, don't be surprised. We grab some, mid-level depth kind of guys, some veteran guys, maybe some 30-year-olds, what have you, go out there and just complement a couple of the weak spots, create some competition on this roster. But the prioritizing of guys has come and gone pretty much in the initial wave of free agency. But keep your eyes and ears peeled. Of course, we'll have all the latest for you here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, Fat Tony, good job by you. Thanks to Brian Coughlin for joining us today. Glad we could bring you those interviews with Dan Scuda, Sergio Brown, and Jeremy Parnell. And thanks again to the Jags PR staff, primarily Ryan Robinson, Ted Dickman, for helping us get all these guys in here on a timely basis. More on the Jags and the rest of the world of sports coming up with XL Primetime next. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, and for Joe Fortunato, I am Mike Dempsey, signing off for Jaguars today. Joe C. Hacker and T-Wig next on 1010XL.